Welcome to Wubba Lubba Pod Pod. I'm Josh.
I'm Alex.
And here on Wubba Lubba Pod Pod, we are going to review season 1, episode 8 of Rick and Morty, Rixty Minutes.
So, Rixty Minutes, what's that about, huh? Is it referencing the 60 Minutes television show?
Yes.
Can you remind me what that's about?
Nope, I never watched it. Actually, wait, no, 60 Minutes. Wasn't that the one?
You're American.
Yeah, I know. I never said I was a good American.
Oh.
I think that's the one with Larry King, and it's basically just an extended news story thing where they pick something and they talk about it. I don't know. Okay. I never got into it.
Is it like true crimey?
It's just regular news, except okay. They only talk about one story that is really big.
Okay.
And they get an interview with somebody that's involved in it to come on to
the
show.
Got it.
It's a talk show. It's a newsy talk show.
It's a newsy talk show.
Mm-hmm. I think. Don't quote me on that. Hey, viewers, if you want to correct me, please do, because I haven't got a fucking clue what I'm talking about. But, I mean, colloquially, this episode really should have been called Interdimensional Cable.
Right, that's how everybody calls
it. That's what everybody calls it anyway. But the official title is Rixty Minutes, whatever. I just saw an interesting...
The fun facts are rolling in early, people.
The fun facts? Oh, yeah.
Correct.
Yes. You're welcome.
You just said a bunch of fun facts, Josh. Are you paying attention to yourself?
I am not paying attention to anything at all. I am...
You're twirling a thing on your finger and...
just...
Last time you were eating and like playing, fidgeting with something, and I can't hear it all.
Can you hear
just
this?
Just say it. Not at the moment.
Well, that's but you can hear me eating. I see. Okay, I'm so sorry about that.
No, that's fine.
Don't hesitate to tell me to stop eating on camera. I knew I shouldn't have. I knew I shouldn't have been, and I felt bad, but I couldn't stop myself.
I mean, you were happy, so that's fine. What are you drinking tonight?
Oh, this is just Reed's sugar-free ginger beer.
Wow, not sponsored. I am drinking out of a...
Someday, we're going to get them to sponsor us because we drink it on almost every episode of Beer with Buffy now. What are you drinking, Alex?
This is not Beer with Buffy, but you said Beer with Buffy. You said the B word. Oh, this is the part...
the B
section
word.
This is the BWB word. This is the section of the podcast where we somehow reference... Beer with Buffy, which is our sister podcast. Shout outs to Rex. Hi, Rex. You can come on over to this podcast anytime you want. Just pick an episode and we'll do a threesome here.
Ooh.
Right now.
Ixnay on the Isum Thray.
I mean, like a podcast threesome. Get
oh,
that
kind of threesome.
Get out of here. Yeah.
Oh, I'm also drinking the same ass bottle of wine that I opened last episode. Night? It's going to be even more disgusting. You can visibly see my face of disgust when I took the first sip on the last episode. It's that bad. It's going to be worse now because it's been open for over a week.
I can't wait to see what it does to your body.
Or my face. My face is part of my body, I guess, so that counts.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that smells awful.
Well, when you drink that poison juice, I'm letting you know that I'm drinking out of a Gryffindor beer mug. Legit, it's very heavy.
3 points to Gryffindor.
Thank you, Professor King, I guess. That's a good name. And I'm drinking I'm drinking this Amstel Ultra. Do you know this beer?
Amstel?
It's very popular. Yeah, it's very popular here in Monterrey, at least. It's very light, so it's almost like water, but it does have a nice flavor, not like Corona. Like, Corona is just water.
You think?
Like, bet it tastes like beer.
I actually kind of like Corona. Everybody talks shit about
it. I love Corona.
You stick some lime in there, it's delicious.
Oh, you have to do the lime. Mm. Yeah. But whatever. We are not sponsored by anything right now, but we're talking brands, people, because today on Wubba Lubba Pod Pod, we are watching an episode about TV and a lot of commercials from other dimensions.
That's true.
It's
fake ones. Real, or are they real? There's a universe out there where those are real ads. Mm.
Exactly. And I'm very interested in the one with the man with ants in his eyes.
See,
that just took just the the ants.
That's one of my least favorite ones. I'm not looking forward to that at all.
It stuck with me. I think I'm a little traumatized by it. So how about you say, how about do I say, do we all say? Say. Sorry. Sorry. All I want to say is that we should start the episode.
You should
now.
Speak the, your true true.
My true true?
Your small true true is different than your big true true.
True true.
So speak it.
Okay. Well, I think I do.
You're saying you want to start the episode.
I do want to start the episode.
I just, you know,
are you ready? What do we say first before starting?
Oh, don't forget to review us on iTunes. Yeah.
That one. Yes.
Crazy motherfuckers. Do it. Because
that's a good one.
You love us.
It helps us a lot.
You love us. Yes.
You love us so much.
Yes.
Don't.
I didn't get a chance to tell you.
Nothing. What?
Okay. I didn't get a chance to tell you while we were chatting before the episode. That last night, I've never been to a circus in my life, and now there's this creepy circus going around called, Cirque Paranormal.
What?
Yeah, like, there's literally a big white and black swirly, lined tent with red lights shining on it in the middle of our mall. Like, they really committed to this, and I went and saw it last night. And I just want to say, if anybody gets a chance to see Cirque Paranormal, speaking of brands, they must just be touring the U.S. right now. It was fantastic. It was kind of cheesy and the creepy aspect, but as far as a circus goes, it did not disappoint. There was a really cool duo dancer act where they were just on this little tiny platform that was smaller than your average backyard trampoline, and they're on roller skates, just spinning in circles and doing aerial tricks, like lifting her and spinning her around. And he's only got like this little tiny lip of space to spin around.
Just it's playing super with dangerous. Life.
Seriously, playing with life. Like one little slip up, and
serious
concussion.
Death.
Yeah. Broken bones, etc. Speaking of, the craziest act was the final act, where it was basically two human-sized hamster wheels connected to each other by some truss work that spin around with dudes inside the hamster wheels also spinning around. And then one of the dudes jumps out and gets on top of the outside of the hamster wheel and is spinning around like that. And like jumping rope on top of it while it spins around. Like jumping up and letting it fucking fall for a bit and then landing it. And I'm like, every time he did it, I'm like, oh my God, that motherfucker's about to die. We're about to watch this motherfucker die. This is irresponsible. Why are you doing this? I didn't pay to watch you die. But, you know, you, bro.
This is so funny because you can tell this was your first time at a circus.
Yeah.
That's pretty much how you react to the first time watching all those acrobatic, incredible, superhuman show thingies.
Yeah. Like, I mean,
combinations.
I get anxiety just being in a room with that many people, let alone jumping up and down.
So the thrill started early for you.
Yeah, they sure did. And they were like, if you need to pee during the performance,
oh no,
don't. Just kill yourself. You're not allowed to leave. And I was like, they can't do that. Legally, they can't. They can't just tell us.
Don't tell me about it. When I went to I've been to a couple of comedy shows where they make you one of them, they made me leave. Or not leave, but put my phone in a bag that was locked, sealed, and I couldn't get it out until I went back out there and they, with their key, opened it and gave it back to me. Just so that I couldn't use my phone during the function, right? But the anxiety that I felt with my phone just unavailable to me in my pocket.
Yeah.
Which is gagged and bound and locked away from my reach. And I'm like, what if I need to call my mom? What if there's an emergency? What if I start choking? What if I'm going to die? Who's going to call my mom?
Yeah, no, the anxiety, the phone anxiety is real these days. Oh, and no. I mean, I just keep thinking back to the 90s. Like, what did we do before cell phones?
What did we do without GPS?
Yeah.
I used it daily. Did we go to places? I guess it was just like how we used to remember phone numbers. Mm-hmm. You also had to remember like the entire map of your city, every single fucking road and street.
I delivered pizzas that way. I would literally go to a map.
That helped.
I went to a map on the wall.
On the wall.
I didn't have a map in the car. There's a map on the wall, and I would literally stand there until I had memorized how to get to that house, and then I just went and did it.
So you're like, okay, one right, then three streets, then one left, then two. Dude,
basically,
this is like getting out of some sort of jigsaw.
Yeah.
Trap.
I had to use my brain and remember how to do shit.
Oh, no.
Yep.
That sucks.
And I felt so alive.
My God.
You know, and crazy is I always found the place. I never had to like come back and be like, I forgot how to get there and look at the map again. I mean, that never happened.
I guess we're capable human beings if we just let ourselves be.
Yeah. But just we've got all this technology just doing everything for us. I think it's holding us back as a species. But whatever.
And
it'll be fine.
So on that note, intergalactic television, huh?
Yep.
How about that? How do we start the episode?
We should.
You wanna start?
Let's do that.
Yeah. So we've been talking for 16 minutes.
I've had worse. It's okay.
Time flies, you know. Good conversation.
That's right. I needed
Let's get into it.
To regale the tale of Circuit Paranormal. People needed to know. Okay.
Thank you. I should attend that. That sounds great.
Also, I had just found a shirt that looks exactly like the one Alec Baldwin wears in Beetlejuice, the black and white plaid. So I wore that. Because just as a subtle Beetlejuice reference, it was nice.
That's so cool.
Pretty much every time I ever wear that, I'll just be like, well, I'm Alec Baldwin today. I'm going to try not to murder anyone on a movie set.
I was going to say the same joke, but I like held it in because I'm like, I don't know if this is appropriate. And then
it's
ahead.
It's not appropriate. But we're just internet content creators. Podcast,
so, yeah.
I don't think anybody expects anything more or less from us, really.
No. We've covered pretty outrageous things. So, do you have your notes? Are you ready? Let's get into it.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
What is my purpose?
You pass butter.
Oh my God.
Glenn's bleeding to death.
Oh my God. I am like totally fine.
The squirrel's morning.
Oh my God.
Oh jeez, I'm so down with my parents' divorce, dog.
What is my purpose?
If God exists, it's f***ing me.
You love this. I call it Jerry O.
I'm sorry, I'm not a classic maternal archetype.
Yeah, we're in the Smiths' living room, and they're all watching one of those shitty reality shows like The Bachelor. I think it is just supposed to be The Bachelor. Everyone's really into it, except for Rick and Morty. Rick's like, if it's any consolation, Summer, none of it matters, and the whole show is stupid. And Jerry's like, okay, how about you show us your idea of good television, and we'll shit all over that. He says crap all over that, but he meant shit. And Rick's like, I thought you'd never ask. And he breaks open the cable box. And he slaps a fucking crystal on it and screws it back together. Morty explains that it is crystallized xanthanite and conducts electrons across dimensions. And he's clearly very proud of himself. And Rick can't have a cocky Morty, which we learn in later episodes. Or maybe earlier episodes. I don't remember. It all blends together already. And so Rick very quickly condescends to him about it. He's like, 20% accurate as usual, Morty. And he explains that he's upgraded their cable package to include programming from every conceivable reality. Like, for example, Showtime Extreme, from a reality where man evolved from corn. It's some kind of procedural crime drama where a gangster dude shoots a cop and he had a gun duct taped to the back of his back, just like, or maybe it was supposed
Die Hard?
Yeah, it was a Die Hard reference, probably. He seemed like the bad guy, you know? It seemed like the bad guy won the gunfight, but when you think of it as just a Die Hard reference, it was probably more of a McClane.
And the thing is that they're corn people.
So it was kind of corny.
It was. Kind of corny. But hey, the point is that Rick has... Rick has summoned the power of Infinite TV from infinite universes.
Correct.
And they start flipping through the channels. What do we see in these channels?
Let's see. We see a movie about a guy eating shit. And then we see a
violent... Have you seen that movie? Have you seen that movie?
Movie about a guy eating shit?
Yeah. Probably. You know that movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That one. No, sorry. I came in halfway through the series. I've only seen like the third and fourth one. I never saw the original. But I've heard that the second one is just a remake of the original. So you don't really need to see the first one.
Yeah,
so you better
just... Yeah, you don't need it. You just go straight for third. So
now I'm just talking about
and
Evil
Dead.
And
then the fourth is... Bro, I watched Evil Dead Rising the other night. That shit is good.
The TV show?
I hadn't seen... No, the newest movie, I guess. Like, I hadn't seen any of the Evil Dead.
There's
so I watched the newest movie. There's a new movie. It's called Evil Dead Arise.
When did that come out?
Like, a few months ago. Like, it's on HBO Max.
Is it...
But, is it Bruce
Campbell?
It's so good. I don't know who that is.
Bruce Campbell's the main guy in the blue shirt with the boomstick and the chainsaw arm from the first movies.
Oh, I don't think I've seen the first movies. So I saw that one, and then I saw the one from, I think, 2003 or something.
Okay, because I know they did a remake that Bruce Campbell was not in, and somebody plays a very Ash-like character. But it's not canonically Ash. I don't know.
I think I'm missing the originals. I think I've only seen like the latest ones. But still, I hadn't seen any of them and I didn't know what it was about.
We are talking about Evil Dead, right?
We are.
Okay. Just checking.
Not Resident Evil.
Yeah. Not Resident Evil. No.
Evil Dead.
I've not
different
watched
evils.
Resident Evil, but I've watched all of the Evil Dead TV show and the first... Well, actually, I never
There's
saw the
TV
first one.
There's a TV show?
Mm-hmm. 3 seasons, and I had heard that Bruce Campbell quit because he didn't want to do it anymore, so that's why I'm so surprised to hear that there's a new movie.
What? Well, there's a new movie. I don't think this guy's in it, because it's mostly women.
Hmm. All right, so we'll look into that later.
Right, sorry.
One thing for people to look into. Back to Rick and Morty.
Right.
So there's a guy eating shit. Did you catch my joke there? I was implying that Evil Dead was just about a guy eating shit. And it's the analogy kind of works. It kind of works. okay, anyway, except, you know, it's a guy getting fucked up by deadites the whole time instead of eating shit. Anyway, violent antique show. Just a bunch of old people beating each other up. Hilarious. Not laugh out loud hilarious, but pretty funny. It's the kind of funny that makes you go, that's funny, instead of laughing. Letterman from a timeline where Jerry is famous. A teddy bear pooing out some spider web and making a web with it. Jerry's like, wait, go back to the last channel. And Rick goes back to the guy eating shit, who's just been served a court order to not eat shit anymore. And Rick's like, oh, well, Jerry, when you're right, you're right. I'm hooked.
And the opening credits.
Mm-hmm.
The teddy bear pooping the spider web. That was interesting. Because at first I was like, ew, why is it pooping it? But then I'm like, well, technically spiders are kind of pooping it.
Yeah. It really made me think about spiders on a different scale.
Yeah.
Like if spiders, I mean, it doesn't come out of their anus. I'm sure they have a special gland for...
Yeah. But it's just like same area and it looks like it's coming out of their butts.
Yeah.
So that's where it's all coming from. But like, it just looks so weird on a, very happy teddy bear. It's bizarre.
But yeah, I've heard that if a spider were human-sized and it could spin a web, then that would be the strongest. I mean, by scale, a spider web is the strongest material on the Earth. Like, you could make an elevator to outer space with that material if it were the right thickness. If you could multiply the gauge up to the size of a normal cable. Or I could have just heard some absolute bullshit that is not actually true. But I heard that one time. Check it out.
Could be. Mm. Well, give us a call.
At 269.
743. 743-0783. Hey. 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 Whew. So, after the opening credits, we go to a dimension where all proper nouns begin with shmr. Oh, they're watching the TV. Yeah. Shmalita! Shmalantala!
And it's supposed Shmaliani. To be... it's supposed it's to be who's the boss. But it's Schmooze the Schmoss. But those aren't proper nouns. So I don't think Rick got it right. It's not just all proper nouns. It's every it's word every in word. Their fucking vocabulary except for, you know, like the. I don't know. Uh-huh. I should know.
I don't know.
What the is a type of word.
So now we keep switching and flipping through the channels to Telephone Thriller, Game of Thrones, where everybody's short.
Everybody's a dwarf except for Peter Dinklage. Yeah.
Everybody's a dwarf except for Peter
Dinklage. I've caught that before, but that's amazing.
Yeah, and then No Pants Baseball, which I love that show. and then Jerry playing Cloud Atlas or something like that. I'm like, what is that? I don't know what Cloud Atlas is. That also...
I've never seen Cloud Atlas. I think it's a real movie. And something I read real quick while I was looking for fan theories to talk about that I'm going to take at face value. And if I'm wrong, somebody can correct me. Please do. Every role that they show him playing, or at least maybe just the one in Cloud Atlas, was a role played by Tom Hanks in our reality.
Oh, interesting. Okay, now I gotta kind of pay attention to that, see if it's true. Tom Hanks.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Why not Nicolas Cage? Anyways.
Why not Nicolas Cage? Nicolas Cage is way more fun.
I guess, yeah.
And just as nice of a guy. I've never heard anything bad about Nicolas Cage.
I haven't heard anything about Nicolas Cage. I guess I don't. Just that he's on movies.
No news is good news.
And he's the new, DLC of... Dead by Daylight, so...
He is, and that's...
You could be playing with Nicolas Cage in Dead by Daylight for some random reason, but
I very much need to go see or find a copy of or find streaming the...
Yes.
Well, a couple of movies that he's done recently. I'm just not caught up on shit. The Dracula one.
Oh,
damn.
Yes! Yes! I also want to see that!
I need to see Renfield. Yeah! And I need to see... I think it's the crushing weight of inexplicable talent or something like that.
Wow. That came from within.
Very
sorry.
Nice.
The crushable what?
Your inner truth. Your inner reality.
That's my inner truth.
Good. This is healthy. This is what you need. This is what we need.
Okay. Stop being shrinky.
This is what we all need.
Go back. No.
We just need you burping all the time. 100%. Alex burping. All Alex burping.
Rick,
all day.
If Rick
24-7. Okay. 7 days a week. 30 days a year. 72 days a year. 352 days a year. All year, every
Stop!
Year. Alex burping. All day, every day. .com.
If Rick does it, why can't I? My mom always tells me to not burp because that's not what ladies do. And I'm like, I'm not a lady.
Well, your mother's wrong. Also.
All humans burp. Like, why is it a thing? It's even a compliment in Japan. Shut the fuck
up. Exactly. It's not a Japan.
On culture, people.
That's funny.
The last channel that they flip to is the hamsters that live inside people's butts.
That's correct.
For just a second.
Just a moment.
Before everybody's... Yeah, they're very
It looks like a press gathering of hamsters in butts.
Yeah. And it's just very... yeah.
I think it's great. I want to live there.
Oh, no, I don't want to. Oh, no, I don't think so.
I thought there were gophers at first, but then they're cleared as hamsters later. It's fine.
Yeah.
Thank God. That's so much better than gophers. Gophers burrow, where the hamsters would probably be a bit more chill.
oh, no. I don't want to think about it. So then they flip to one that's quick mystery. Do you remember what that was about? Oh, yeah. Quick mystery.
Mm.
It was the ones where he's like, oh, no, somebody murdered this person. And he's like, it was me. Here's the murder weapon.
This is the murder weapon. Here's my fingerprints. I sentence you to life in jail for murder. I sentence you to murder. And then they zap him on the chair. The last one, another quick mystery. I'm the killer. Wow, that one was really quick.
Really quick.
It was gory and like, wow. But also, that's funny. So then Rick poses the question, do you all want to obsess over yourselves narcissistically or do you want to watch some crazy television? The vote is overwhelmingly to obsess narcissistically. So Rick tosses them some goggles that show them their alternative universe selves, chucks it in the kitchen, go fetch. And Morty.
They're like,
exactly. Morty's playing it super cool, though. I guess he needs Rick's validation still. And he's like, I'm cool to just watch some awesome TV, man. And he's like, okay.
Watch some crazy stuff, yo.
And so next up, a classic. We got this fucked up ad by Ants in Your Eyes Johnson. It's your classic blowout sale local used appliance store, but the sales guy is some motherfucker with literal ants in his eyes and therefore blind. And did you see the pit stains on this guy? Like, just soaked. Just soaked under his arms.
No.
I mean, I'd be pretty stressed out, too, if I always had red ants in my eyes.
Oh, God.
They're specifically red ants. The worst kind of ants. I don't know. There's also flying ants, I guess. That would have been pretty bad.
Stop. Too. I have so many PTSD nightmares because I once ate a lollipop full of ants.
Oh, no.
As a child. Yeah, it's one of my earliest memories.
How does that happen?
Somebody gave me the lollipop.
Live?
I thought it was... Yes! It was covered in live ants. And I was like, and I put it in my mouth. And then my grandmother looked at me and started screaming because I had ants coming out of my mouth. And she grabbed me. And like we ran to the kitchen. And she was just like shoving water in my mouth. And I was like, Like, it was horrible.
Yeah.
And I have nightmares of ants just taking over my entire body.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I still have two stories that are, I can't even say equally traumatizing,
no.
But they were gross. They both involve accidentally getting ants in my mouth.
Oh, no.
Relatively recently, just a couple years ago, I stayed the night at a friend's house. I had left a can of soda out on the nightstand, and I took a swig of it in the morning, not knowing that they had a pretty bad ant problem. Mouthful of ants. Full of ants, and I just sprayed fucking ant soda all over their fucking house. And I was like, I'm so sorry about that, but you understand. They were like, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, no.
And I ran and rinsed my mouth out. I don't think I swallowed any of it. No, I didn't. I definitely didn't. Another time when I was a small child, my brother, my asshole brother, chucked a rotten apple at my face.
Oh, no.
It hit me right in the mouth and knocked a bunch of ants from this rotten apple from the ground into my mouth.
That's horrible.
Yeah, it was.
I think those are pretty close to the same traumatic level as mine, I gotta say. Oh, God.
Except I've never had dreams about or fears. I never developed a fear of ants taking over my body. I'm more scared of the actual parasites that are in the food we buy every day.
Oh, like no, Josh.
Tapeworms and shit. Ants are
Don't
fine.
Don't tell me.
You can eat ants all day, every day. They're actually good for you. It's not a problem. You know what?
So after then, what happens,
this,
Morty? What?
There's a damn fly in my wine.
No way! Yeah. No way! We summoned the fly.
I'm not even joking right now.
The fly is like, here, I'll show you. I'll give you a story to tell in the next episode.
Mm-hmm. So, Morty's plan is super cool. Yeah, ants in your eyes, Johnson. Yeah, and people are just looting the store behind this guy as he's doing the commercial.
Yeah.
And he actually... And
everything he says is wrong, right? Like, there's like, he's like, prices. This microwave, $100! And it says free. Like,
I hope. You know, I can't really see because I've got ants in my eyes. I'm ants in my eyes, Johnson.
And then suddenly out of nowhere, he starts catching on fire as he tells us that he can't feel anything. It's just a condition I have. I can't. The nerves, they just don't work. I can't feel anything at all. It's like he's just on fire.
I don't know if I'm standing or sitting or what. I don't know.
I
couldn't really use that as a name. It's not quite as catchy as Ants in Your Eyes, Johnson. I don't know. This whole the ants in his eyes. That's, I just can't do it.
I just picture them in the voice actor booth. Just being like, just go with it, bro. Just keep going. Keep going. Keep going.
Right?
It's just like saying like...
Yeah, this is the first part where we really see the improvisational tone coming out. And then Rick breaks the fourth wall with that exact phrase only moments from now. So we're in the kitchen now, and Jerry puts on the goggles first, and he's doing cocaine with Johnny Depp.
It is.
It's all white at first, but then other alternate Jerry looks up, and it's Johnny Depp, and he's like, Jerry, I love doing cocaine with you. And this Jerry's like, I love doing cocaine with you, Johnny Depp. It's fucking dumb. Beth puts them on. She's like, all right, my turn. She's doing surgery. Her alternate self is doing surgery on a human instead of a horse. And Summer tries them, and she sees nothing. And Beth suggests that maybe, you know, if her and Jerry both achieve their dreams, then there's a chance Summer doesn't even exist. Then realizes immediately how horrible that sounds. And it only just gets worse and worse throughout this episode. So that's our first instance of the kerfuffle with this plot.
What
a kerfuffle it is. She flips through a few channels and finds one where they're playing Yahtzee, which is funny because Jerry had only moments ago suggested that they do that, sarcastically albeit, just before putting on the goggles. And Beth and Jerry placate Summer. They're like, Yahtzee's fun. We love Yahtzee. It's a fun game for fun families. But Jerry clearly doesn't actually believe that. He snatches the goggles back. Because he wants to obsess over his famous cocaine-doing actor self. Can't blame him. Can't blame him. Honestly, it sounds more fun to enjoy that version of yourself vicariously from a safe spot than to actually be doing it.
Right. I don't know. That's true.
Drugs are dangerous. Don't do them. They fuck you up.
True.
Unless, I mean, you want to do weed, do weed. You want to do shrooms. Anything other than that, I get real judgy about real quick. Okay, acid's pretty okay, ish, but it can get dangerous real quick if you don't look for the right, if you don't be real careful about knowing what you have. Not that I would know. I've never done it. I don't know anybody who does. I'm going to stop talking about illegal drugs on the public interwebs right now. Don't do drugs. This is an anti-drug sentiment.
Don't you fucking dare.
Don't do it. Stay in school,
dare
kids.
Program. Anyway. Cut to the Intergalactic TV.
Yeah.
We have a show.
Where the sneezy car
Well, it's not a show. It's like a it's a commercial about the brand new Sneezy XL car. The horn, when you honk it, it makes a sneeze. And I felt seen okay as a person with lots of allergies and sneezing all the fucking time. I was like, finally, a car that understands me.
All right.
And then that's when Morty says, TV from other dimensions has a somewhat looser feel to it. And Rick agrees. He's like, yeah, it's got an almost improvisational tone.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's the two brothers bit, which is one of my favorites.
I think it's really the iconic interdimensional cable ad, preview, trailer, show, whatever you want to call it. Again, I don't find it super laugh out loud funny, but it's just so bizarre. But it also,
it just keeps going and going and
it
going.
It just keeps going. It's just riffing on all of these old, you know, modern and old action movies alike with the growly announcer voice. In a world where two brothers do things, you know, you could rip on that for hours and just keep coming up with ridiculous shit. And it wouldn't sound completely implausible as a movie idea.
Exactly. So the final title for the whole thing is Alien Invasion, Tomato Monster, Mexican Armada Brothers, who are just regular brothers running in a van from an asteroid.
From an asteroid.
All sorts of things. The movie.
The movie.
And then they keep going some more. And that's when you can hear just breaking character, whoever it was, probably Justin Roiland.
It was Justin Roiland.
Yeah. It's called Two Brothers. It's just called Two Brothers. And he like laughs out loud, bro.
Yeah.
I love that.
You know what I thought was funny about the Mexican Armada portion of it is they never specified that they were alien Mexican Armadas. Like an armada, I think, is just another word for like a fleet of ships. But the animators decided to make them an alien at least spaceships of a Mexican armada that look like fucking sombreros.
Amazing.
Which,
of course, they do.
Do you find that funny or offensive or a weird mixture?
Both.
Okay. Just checking.
It's like, I think it's one of those things where, like, things used to be funny in one way under the lens of racism and xenophobia. And then things got real offensive. And now those things are, like, kind of funny again under a new lens of, like, awareness of, like, the existence of xenophobia. But also it's like, oh, just another stereotype. Because what do Mexicans do on the beloved Independence Day, which is September 16th, not May the 5th. We actually don't celebrate May the 5th. That's an American holiday about Mexico, basically. The real Independence Day here in Mexico is September 16th. Well, the night of the 15th into the 16th. And we always make a Mexican party. And we, like, sometimes bring sombreros and fake mustaches and do the whole like sarape thing and kind of like theme it out. But like, we're allowed to do it. Okay?
Yeah, exactly.
You're not. Okay? Then, case by case, I rest my case.
So, two things.
Yeah.
Cinco de Mayo is a myth.
It's a myth.
I did not know that.
It's not a complete myth. Not a complete myth. There was a battle that we won on May the 5th. But, like, we never made it. It wasn't a thing for us until the United States decided to make Cinco de Drinko, like, just because it fucking rhymes. And it's very, like, marketable. And now we're kind of just, like, we just, like, watch you celebrate Cinco de Mayo, and we're like, oh,
that's adorable. Yeah. I imagine it's a similar thing with St. Patrick's Day and the Irish.
I imagine too, right?
Yeah.
I think so.
It's basically just another excuse to drink.
It is.
And not we'll that the Irish it. Need an excuse.
Don't get me wrong. Mexicans are not against Cinco de Mayo. We're all for it. But just to be clear, it's mainly an American thing.
Right. Okay, great. Also, I was going to ask, on a scale of 1 to 10, what is the actual cultural relevance of sombreros to Mexicans?
So, they're mainly worn by mariachis, which are still something that we do very much. Do you know what a mariachi is?
Yeah, it's type of music.
No.
No?
No, but close. So a mariachi is a type of band.
Okay, it's a band.
It's kind of like a band made up of it has certain instruments, such as like violins, the big guitar, the big trumpet, the little trumpets, and some other stuff. And there's usually a group of like 6 to 8 to like 12 of these people, men and women, do it. And they play certain like typical Mexican songs, such as the Guadalajara song. Or like just the typical like, or like cucaracha, or like like all these just like classic Mexican songs. They just sing it and play it out loud live for people, and people use them to like, you can like hire them to come to your wedding, to come to like your girlfriend's balcony when you're like asking her to be your girlfriend. They sometimes start playing in like typical Mexican restaurants. They just like start like inching into your table, start playing a song like Cielito Lindo, like just typical songs, and like asking, sort of like when that happens, you're supposed to give them like a tip, you know? So that's also, and that's basically what mariachis are. And those are the people who use the sombrero. Like, they have a specific uniform kind of thing or costume when they're doing the mariachi stuff. And it's very typical and it's beautiful. Yeah, and it does include the sombrero. So that's...
Yeah. Okay. Has it always been a mariachi band kind of thing? It's never... It didn't, like, have its roots in something else?
So I guess like very much like in the early days of Mexican culture, like back in the day, I don't know exactly, like 20s, maybe earlier, maybe around the time, Mexicans did use those big sombreros when they were working on the fields to like protect themselves from the sun.
Okay. That's what I was going to say. That's what it seemed like, is it's a sun hat. It's just a sun hat. Yeah.
It is.
Why is everybody so fucking worked up about it? Like, we've got sun hats.
It's just because, like, that was, like, that doesn't happen anymore. That's, like, from years ago. And the offense and the issue is that, like, still in the early 2000s, when Mexico was represented on screen, it was, like, a guy on a burro with a serape and a sombrero. And it's, like, that doesn't, like... That's not all that Mexico is, you know, like, we're just normal people that speak Spanish and are way funnier than you. We can drink way better than you. So.
Yeah, it's like thinking of, only thinking of leprechauns when you think of Ireland, not to belabor the references to, you know, not to only compare all of this to Ireland, or everyone thinking of Americans as cowboys.
Exactly. Yeah. Or
it's a stereotype.
You know, school shootings. It's just a stereotype. sadly, yeah, it's just the reduction of a whole culture into like one stereotype. That's just a thing. But like I said at the beginning of this whole thing, is that, you know, sometimes we just fall back into the funny of it.
Well, that's good. It's wrapped around to being silly again. Good, good, good. So anyway, Two Brothers. It's just called Two Brothers. And we cut back to the kitchen, and Beth is watching her alternate self get a Nobel Peace Prize. Jerry is a lion tamer in a movie, he presumes anyway, or he just works with lions. And Summer is now playing Chutes and Ladders.
Riveting.
Terrible taste in board games, but you know, it's a classic. Easily like the most boring board games. Like, it's like she's 17. Like, these games are for fucking 6-year-olds, you know. So this triggers an argument because Beth tries to explain it like an adult, you know, in complete denial. And she says, when two people make a life together, they set aside their previous lives as individuals. Which admittedly just sounds like some bullshit she's making up to make herself feel better. Jerry has to be a dick about it. You know, at least he's being an honest dick. He's like, oh, come off it. We're not heroes for having unprotected sex on prom night. Beth jumps to accusing Jerry of resenting her for holding him back now that he knows he could have had it better. Jerry calls her out for projecting her own resentment onto him. He also drops the bomb that he talked her out of getting an abortion right in front of Summer. And he also thinks that she'd have been alone and depressed anyway and an alcoholic with too many exotic birds if she had become a doctor and a surgeon the way she wanted to. And Beth doesn't even get a chance to argue with that, and honestly, doesn't seem like she really even wanted to. But Summer interjects with, and she's very incredulous at them thinking about an abortion, and they're like, "Yeah, but we're the virgins who didn't, so you're welcome."
Yeah.
Summer shuts that down real quick by sarcastically saying, well, it's a real treat to live with people who force themselves to stay together instead of being happy.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah.
And to that I say, it is. It is.
It's a real treat. Well, you know,
it's an interesting treat.
I gotta say, if my parents did one thing right, it was probably getting a divorce.
Well, my parents didn't do that, and I... Moving on! Rick walks in and starts shitting on this mate for, you know, sticking with watching themselves in other dimensions. And then he starts talking about ball fumblers and how fun that show is, and that's what they're doing over there, and they should join them. But he just leaves to... more Smith fighting, and then Summer storms out because she's had enough.
Yeah, she's going to move to the Southwest, and she's going to do something with turquoise.
Something with turquoise.
And funny. Right after she said that she's going to have better judgment than them because she's not pregnant. I don't know, that doesn't sound like great judgment, but I think that's what they were going for.
And now they cut to the living room. With more intergalactic TV.
Yeah, I appreciated that they set up two different angle shots, specifically of Summer storming out from the kitchen. We see her, and then she struts right in front of the television. Great transition, by the way, to get us back to interdimensional television.
That's true. I like that.
Mm-hmm. And
they had some weird Saturday Night Live show with, like, weird guests, just random stuff.
And you're familiar with Saturday Night Live, right?
I am, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you were like some weird Saturday Night Live thing?
No, I mean, a weird version of Saturday Night Live.
Okay, good. Yeah, I mean, Saturday Night Live is weird anyway.
Yeah.
I used to love it, but it's just not the same. And even when I was a kid, people were already saying it's just not the same because it had been running since, I want to say the 70s, but it might be the late 60s. I forget when it started, but it's been on the air a long fucking time.
Yeah.
Good for them. Good for them. So they're introducing a bunch of fucking weird ass characters. Go figure. On Rick and Morty, that never happens. A piece of toast. Two guys with handlebar mustaches. A man painted silver who makes robot noises. Fun fact, that is actually a reference to a character that Chris Parnell played on Saturday Night Live. You know who Chris Parnell is? Of course.
No.
The voice of Jerry.
Oh, okay. Got it.
I think that was my favorite one, honestly.
Yeah.
Three slime aliens or whatever. I don't even know. We'll come back to that. A hole in the wall where the men can see it all. That one was,
oh, no, it's a glory hole.
That was so fucking dumb. And Bobby Moynihan. And I think... I assume that's an actor that's been on the show for a very long time.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure he's actually an SNL actor.
Yeah, he is. I recognize him.
Rick drops a little bit of trivia that Bobby Moynihan has severe artistic differences with Piece of Toast.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Behind the scenes.
Yeah.
No, me neither.
I imagine I would also have artistic differences with a famous piece of toast that I have to act across from in a comedy show on a daily basis. Like, if it's anything other than I'm eating that piece of toast and it's delicious, I'm going to have artistic differences.
So many.
That's just my opinion.
Okay.
And, you know, who am I? Who am I? Just some asshole with a podcast.
Okay.
Two of them, though.
Excuse
me. Anyway, then we transition over to everybody's favorite classic, fake doors.
Real fake doors.
Come on.
And real fake doors.
Just get your fake doors. What are you even worried about? Don't even think about it. This one doesn't open. This one doesn't open. None of them open.
They're all fake.
And then he just stops and he gets in his car and he goes home. And the camera still follows him the whole time. He's at home. He makes a sandwich. And then it's still the commercial.
Yay!
Rick and Morty are, I think... The best moment here is when they cut back to Rick and Morty and they're like, whoa, I thought this was a commercial. What's going on? I don't know, Morty. Just keep watching. And they're just riveted by this gimmick that's never been pulled on us in this dimension, but somebody really should, I think, at this point. Because that would really get me too, and I really appreciate the gimmick of the gimmick here. We're still on the commercials for fake doors. I've got all these fake doors at my house. Fakedoors.com. And then they get bored after it gets really extra repetitive and stupid. Yeah. Morty's like, wait. Okay, fine. You can change it.
And I love how like they change it. Like at the beginning, it's real fake doors.
Mm-hmm.
And like they put on the screen like realfakedoors.com, blah, blah, blah. And then at the end, it's just fake doors.
Just
like
fake doors. There's no consistency. No fake consistency at all.
It doesn't matter.
It's just...
Nobody cares.
Justin Roiland's weird stream of consciousness. And they stuck it in an animation.
Yeah.
They didn't care.
And then comes Gasorpasorp Field.
Okay, this might actually...
He loves his gelatin.
This might actually be my favorite.
Wait, really? I thought you were going to hate it because of the extra arms.
I do hate it because of the extra arms. But if you cut out the extra arms,
okay,
it's actually a really poignant take on Garfield. Mm. 'Cause if you watch Garfield, he actually is just very abusive towards John constantly.
Right.
And it's really sad.
Right. What?
Abusive.
Right.
Garfield's abusive. Except this time he's extremely racist and just
straight up
milk toast. I've never really understood the term milk toast. I mean, I think I get it based on context.
Right.
But it was weird. The subtitles spelled milk with a Q and not a K. I always assumed it was just like the words milk and toast, but I'm wondering if there's more to it, and I didn't bother looking that up. So hey viewers, if you want to explain to me what milk toast means, give us a call at 743-0783 269
right.
Country code 1.
Oh wow.
Yeah. It's 269.
Not at all confusing.
Nope, not at all.
Okay.
But right. Yeah, the extra arms.
Right, the extra arms, Gasorpasorp Field, but then they have the Bill Murray conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I have here written down. What was that all about?
You know what's funny about that is that's just real. That's real trivia.
That's what it felt like. Yeah.
Yeah, Lorenzo Music is the name of the voice actor that played Garfield on all of the original cartoons. He died in 2001.
Uh-huh.
And he also... was the voice actor for Venkman on the Ghostbusters cartoon, which is the character Bill Murray played in Ghostbusters in the movie.
Oh, what? Okay, that's cool. Yeah, I figured it was something like that, but I didn't know this beforehand, so I couldn't fully enjoy it.
Yeah, I looked that up because I didn't know that his name was Lorenzo Music, and I was confused. So I was like, yeah. And then Bill Murray, of course, plays the voice of Garfield in the 3D animated Garfield that came out in like the later 2000s after Lorenzo Music was dead.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So interesting. All the connections.
Uh-huh.
Kind of like different dimensions connected.
I mean, it makes sense because it turns out they do have very similar timbre of voices.
I mean, yeah.
So why wouldn't they play the same characters, you know? It's fascinating.
So then, cut to Beth and Jerry just laying down in the kitchen, reminiscing about their relationship and about having the kids and about, like, did we just stick together because of the kids? If we are, like, if we don't have to stick together because of the kids, what should we do? Dot, dot, dot. And then cut back to the TV.
Yeah, a little bit of a mini micro cliffhanger there, but it's very implied that they're talking about breaking up.
Yeah, and it's just, you can tell that this episode, it's all about hopping from the most random shit that you can think of on the intergalactic TV and then just like moving the plot further.
Well, it's funny because
mainly the Jerry and Beth relationship and how it will affect the kids, but like, you know, it was just interesting how like the two plot lines were, like, one was like silly, goofy, fun, improvisation, whatever, imagination, no limits, and the other one is like, okay, this is where the story of these characters are going.
It's weird because I was reading an article that called the Jerry and Beth plot line the B plot of the episode. Mm-hmm. Which implies that Rick and Morty watching TV, not following any arc whatsoever this episode, really, is the A plot. But the A plot is just nonsense, which is funny.
Exactly.
And it's amusing, which is the overall point of the episode, that sometimes that's all we need is a distraction to cope with life. And we make that point later with... when Morty goes up to talk to Summer, we'll get there in a moment. I think there's an argument to be made. I may or may not be correct objectively. I could be wrong about this, but I would just like to suggest that maybe the actual A plot of the episode is the Beth and Morty, or I'm sorry, the Beth and Jerry story about them wondering if they should be together. And it's weird because, you know, I tend to agree that, you know, okay, maybe they're using this interdimensional goggles as a device to figure out that they're bad together and they'd be happier without each other. Yeah. And I was all on board with that. Like, yeah, they have a terrible relationship and they shouldn't have stayed together for the kids. That's a terrible idea. You probably, like, it's painful to get a divorce, but it's probably better in the long run. But then they bring it back together in the most heartwarming way. I don't know. I don't know. What do you think? I think there's an argument. I think it could technically be called the A plot.
No, yeah, absolutely. And it's just the only reason why I think we resist to calling it the A plot is because they're technically the secondary characters and Rick and Morty are the primary characters. And usually the A plot is whatever is happening with the primary characters. I think they just subverted this time. And I would also say that Beth and Jerry, Barry, if you will.
I think I will.
Yeah. Situation, relationship is very much the A plot right now. Just in terms of like following the over arc, because there's a lot of consequences after all of this is like moved forward. You know, this is like a big step in. Because so far, it's just been kind of like in the air, just a little notch here and there. But this is kind of like where they sat down and actually talked about it, you know? And Summer is just like, confirmation. I feel like this is where she gets the confirmation that she was just not wanted, an accident, blah, 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 all the feelings that come along with that. It's like real hard, like emotionally, like it's like a therapy session with like these three. Well, on the other side, we just get like little breaks and distractions from the intergalactic TV with Rick and Morty.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, and obviously they didn't do Summer any favors. She's upset now, and she's on a weird path to doing something with turquoise. something with turquoise. I don't know, something about that. Lives in my brain rent-free. It comes up all the time for me.
I feel like it's both specific and very broad, you know?
Mm-hmm. All at once. You're right.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say real quick, going back to the Gazorpazorp field thing. Morty asks if all of that same stuff with Bill Murray and Lorenzo Music, if that had happened in the alternate Gazorpazorp dimension, but who says that this is the alternate dimension of Gazorpazorp producing this show, Gazorpazorp Field? Because last episode, Rick, all he said was it's in the Andromeda system. That's still this dimension. It's another galaxy away, which is a long fucking way away, but not necessarily a different dimension. Unless...
No, I feel like it might be a different dimension of another version of Gazorpazorps. Because why would the Gazorpazorps make a show, male Gazorpazorps at this, make a show like Garfield? Like, I don't think that would work in the dimension that Rick and Morty visited, at least. Or like Rick and Summer. So... It probably is just a different version.
It doesn't seem like the kind of thing that the women whom they visited in Gazorpazorp doesn't seem like the kind of television show they would produce, and the men certainly weren't capable of producing that.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
Okay, so. That's good evidence that it is an alternate Gazorpazorp. Okay, never mind. I retract my statement. Cutting back ahead to the living room again, we get an ad... That is anti-trunk people who've had trunks surgically or whatever attached to their faces, or they're born that way, and the surgery was just a propaganda piece of the ad. I'm not sure. It was all just a creepy, gross allegory for anti-gay marriage ads, and then it followed up by a pro-gay trunk people ad. And then we cut to, okay, I keep saying that it's my favorite, and then we keep coming to another one where I'm like,
right?
Oh, actually, this is my favorite.
This is it, bro.
Fucking strawberry smiggles.
Holy shit.
They're mine, and you can't have them, and they're delicious, and my name is Top Hat Jones, and I love my strawberry smiggles, and you can't have them. Oh, hello, children, what do you, oh, God, what are you fucking... Why would you? My entrails have fallen out, and why would you even want to eat those? They're soaked in my stomach acid. Oh, Jesus, show me to the light!
No, it just keeps going.
It's gross, but also just quite possibly one of the funniest TV moments ever.
Yeah,
ever.
It's just it very much. Reminded me of Happy Tree Friends. It's very much that vibe. And it's just like, it's like Lucky Charms, but then it turns real sadistic real quick.
Real quick.
And and like the children that come in, they just have like blank faces, and they're like,
yeah, they're like children of the corn. Children of the corn.
They're
kids.
Fucking black-eyed kids or whatever. I don't know.
And Morty's like, wow, that's pretty intense for a cereal commercial. Yeah, well, you know, if you want to sell cereal, Morty, you really gotta pump the gas a little.
What the fuck?
What does that even mean? But okay.
I believe Bird Person can arrange that.
Go have some fun out there, Bird Person.
It's unwise of me to share these details, but I've become inebriated. Person. They are designed to attract the attention of the female.
It's working.
In bird culture, this is considered a dick move.
Turbulent juice. In a world of muscular mayonnaise, there's three scrawny Michaels or whatever the fuck it is. I don't know. And then I don't know if
it's like gay porn. That's what it is.
It looks a bit like gay porn. They start yelling turbulent juice and just squirting this jizz looking stuff all over everything. And they're like shooting it on each other, but then they're shooting it on home appliances and computers. And Morty is understandably
Rick says,
confused.
Rick says, sex sells Morty. And Morty's like, sex sells what?
Sells what?
Or like, does it clean stuff?
Does it clean stuff? I had the exact same questions. It was perfect. Perfect.
Yeah.
And then Jerry drops in and he's like, your mother and I are going to be spending some time apart, and Summer found out she was an unwanted pregnancy. Whoa, okay. That's a lot, real fast. Then we watch the fucking Baby Legs. I don't know the actual...
Detective show, yeah.
Detective, was it Baby Legs?
I like Johnson, or something? Yeah, like I like here how Rick, as soon as Rick noticed that... Jerry said, just dropped the bomb on Morty, he immediately started to... bring him back to the show and trying to distract him, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, it looked like Rick was, like, trying to get Morty out of absorbing this whole situation.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, look, Baby Lex Detective Show, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, he's being so very, Rick is actively...
taking care of Morty.
Yeah, in a way. He's just shitting all over everything that's going on and downplaying everything that's going on with... Beth and Jerry this whole time. Even in the kitchen, he's like, yep, you should have just watched some TV. And you're right. Yeah, I forgot about that. He does. He just tries to get him to watch this Baby Legs bullshit. I really hate this one. Baby Legs learns a valuable lesson that he can't run fast to get bad guys. Regular Legs saves the day. But what bothers me, this bothers me almost as much, if not more, than the Gazorpazorp arms on the head.
Oh no, the baby legs.
Yeah, not the baby legs per se. I mean, that's part of it. But why does he have to be wearing a diaper and no pants?
I don't know.
He's still an adult.
Baby's
is he weird. Incontinent?
I don't know.
But I hate it. I just fucking hate. Yeah. It's not funny. It's weird. It's awkward. It's a little bit gross. It's dumb. But whatever. If it's your thing, it's your thing. I won't shit on it too much, but I hate it. And I hate you for liking it.
Okay.
And
then I have a TikTok sound alert right here. The next interaction is a TikTok sound, if you didn't know. And it's when Rick says, pretty cool, huh, Morty? And then he realizes that Morty's gone, and he's like, oh. And Jerry says, I thought it was cool. And then Rick says, I don't give a fuck what you think, Jerry.
And then Jerry just slides back to the end of the couch. Like, he just sidled closer to Rick after Morty left. Like, he wanted to sit closer to Rick because he needs his validation that badly, even though he hates Rick because Rick is always shitting on him. It's so sad, but also kind of a real thing that people do.
And then we cut to when Morty is checking in on Summer. Look at him. Such a good little brother.
Yeah. I thought it was really fucking sweet that he ran up there to check on Summer. This has to be another one of those TikTok sound bits, but I don't know. I'm not on TikTok. I'm old. No, I'm gonna get on there someday. It's going to be okay. He says to Summer, you see that out there? That's my dead body. I eat dinner every day 20 feet away from my rotting corpse because we swapped places, blah, blah, blah. He explains the whole thing. And then the one last line that really grinds in this nihilistic everything. Sorry, everybody listening to the stream right now. My computer keeps making fucking beeping noises.
We forgive you.
It says, nobody exists on purpose. Nobody belongs anywhere. Everyone's going to die. Which is a little bit dark, but he's got really good intentions with it. It's positive nihilism, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's not so much the like, oh my God, nothing matters. Like, why am I even here? Let me kill myself. It's more of like, you know what? Nothing matters. Like, why do I worry about shit? I'm just going to live my fucking life.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. No, the little things matter because nothing matters. Those things matter to us. The small things, your interpersonal relationships, having a nice time watching TV with your family.
watching TV.
Yeah.
No, but yeah. And I don't know if that's a TikTok sound. I think it might be a TikTok sound. But it, for sure, it's like a famous quote of the show in general, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That just, if you've heard this quote before, give us a call.
At
269-743-0783.
0783.
Hey.
Oh, jeez. Too much fun with that. And back in the living room, the, this fucking another, this is another one that I hate. The fucking Weekend at Bernie's parody with the old dead cat lady.
Dude.
This one's so fucking gross. Like, Weekend at Bernie's. Like, did you ever see the actual movie Weekend at Bernie's?
I have not seen it. I've heard about it. I've seen it referenced in some shows like How I Met Your Mother. But I have not seen the actual movie. But I kind of get the gist of what it is.
It's really dumb. And it's actually kind of funny, but they never go to the grotesque, gross place that this does. Nobody ever, I think actually somebody does fuck Bernie at one point in time, but it's like in the dark and I don't know. I don't know how they worked that out. Like he would have had to have had a boner when he died, but this isn't Clerks.
But it's funny because I like before it showed the actual title of the show, I was trying to write down like my own, and I wrote down morbid rom-com about guy who falls in love with Mrs. Sullivan's corpse, which is being controlled by her 9 cats. And then it says like, we can have dead cat lady's house too. And I'm like, oh, that's what it is. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Written and directed by Jerry Smith. Which is funny because Jerry was just like criticizing it. It was like, oh, somebody lost their job at Hollywood. Turns out it was you, Jerry. Dumbass.
Yeah, it seems like he would have had better things to do if he's a Tom Hanks replacement actor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Ah.
Morty and Summer saunter back into the room and sit down. Both are pretty chill. Rick says, Morty, you just missed a preview for your dad's Citizen Kane, which is obviously a poke at it being not on the same caliber as Citizen Kane at all. And Morty's like, doesn't matter. Jerry says, yeah. So if your mother and I split up, who would you choose for custody? And Summer says, doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Throws Morty a fist bump. Now for the true climax of the episode, a live news update comes on, and it's Jerry, famous Jerry, driving down the street on a scooter in his underwear with a tourniquet tied around his arm and a syringe sticking out of his chest, running from the police. Like his head is half-shaved head.
Underwear, like tidy whities.
Exactly. Like nobody could possibly ever look like more of a mess.
And, oh, no.
I mean, it's possible, but it's rough.
It's you know how people are like, oh my god, I was a hot mess. It was not a hot mess. It was just a mess. no hot. Sorry. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nothing hot about it. Well, I mean, ask Beth about that.
Because ding dong.
Ding dong. Well, Rick's trying to figure out why the police haven't just taken him out. They've got a clear shot at his head. Jerry's wondering where the hell he's going. We find out. Because we see through Beth's goggles that Jerry has just ding-donged at her door, and we actually are able to see and hear what he says through her goggles. Because I don't think the rest of them in the living room actually can hear Jerry. We're seeing through goggle view what Jerry actually says. We just, we're lucky as the audience members to be privy to both sides of this.
So, yeah, he says the big speech of, like, I shouldn't have never become a famous actor. I should have never.
I've been in love with you since high school. I hate acting. I hate cocaine. I hate Kristen Stewart. I wish you hadn't gotten that abortion, and I've never stopped thinking about what might have been. They hug, crying. Beth runs out of the kitchen. Our Beth, actual Beth, runs, and she's also crying. They hug now. And frankly, this might be the most heartfelt moment of Rick and Morty history ever.
Yeah.
They blow it out of the water. Season 1, episode 8, and I don't think they ever live up to this episode in its entirety ever again throughout the series.
Bam!
It's a romp. It's an enjoyable romp from here on out, but I think they peaked way too early with this episode.
Yeah.
Because nothing gets me quite the same every fucking time I watch it. It's the writing, it resolves the conflict of the whole episode seamlessly. Yeah. in a neat but plausible and satisfying way that just how good the writing is alone almost makes me cry. But their reunion and actually being able to watch their reunion and what it looked like if they had a better life otherwise. And then they actually get this validation that they needed to move forward and be secure in their relationship and their life choices.
Yeah.
So, you know, at least for this moment, and that's just deeply satisfying. And
it is. I think that's because most of us real human beings have had that thought of like, what if I had done this other thing? What if I had chosen this other path?
Mm-hmm.
What would my life look like? And these two, Beth and Jerry, in this dimension at least, get to actually witness what would have happened. And it's just beautiful that, like, even though it seems that they at first were, like, happy with the other choice, they just, by, like, cosmic fates of the universe, end up together nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, you know, when you're in that situation, kind of questioning if you are with the one or whatever, at least for monogamous people, it's just very cathartic to be like, to have some sort of like
confirmation,
secure confirmation,
yeah,
that you are on the right path, whatever that means,
validation.
And
unfortunately, obviously, it doesn't last for the characters. They go right back to bickering and basically verbally abusing each other almost every episode. And pretty much immediately, starting next episode, probably, I forget off the top of my head. but Rick suggests, hey, who wants to watch some more Ball Fondlers?
Ball Fondlers? Anybody? Yeah, I can go for some Ball Fondlers, yeah.
Morty and Summer are totally down.
Down.
Roll credits.
Down. Yeah.
Fucking Ball Fondlers. It's just the A-Team. I was reading an article that said originally what they were going to do with Ball Fondlers was they were going to be more like a Mutant Ninja Turtles type thing where they all had really short arms and did something a little more suggestive of the title throughout. So, you know, use your imagination.
Right.
But then they decided to go with this instead, and they kept the name. I was like, why do they call it Ball Fondlers? Is it just because that guy, the Mr. T character's hair looks like balls? What's what's going on?
No, yeah, I don't think it has to. Yeah, that's the thing. It just doesn't correlate.
Mm-hmm.
But at least not visibly.
And then the tag scene after the credits. Yeah. Rick's goddamn tired of them asking questions about the hamster butt person world because he doesn't know. He's watching the same TV they're watching, and he takes them on a family vacation to hamster butt person world, and it does, in fact, look like a little apartment inside their rectum.
It does look like it. Cue the photo montage, and we can see their vacation shenanigans in hamster that live in butts world, and they seem to have fun.
Yeah. They went on a roller coaster with hamster butt people and made some friends.
Yeah.
With some hamster.
Probably asked them all the questions.
I bet they
did. Probably asked all the questions, yeah.
One of the pictures was of them showing them a diagram of the inside of a hamster butt person.
So, yeah. Confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's a good show.
It's a good show.
There it is.
We did it.
Just say what's in your squawk.
I guess I'm having cock-squatches.
Just say what's in your squawk.
I squawk my family. You're not squatchy enough for a squatchy, squatchy party. I'm squatching in here!
So I'm to understand that you'll be heading up our fan theories after talk this episode, yes?
Yes, I will. But listen, it's not that elaborate. I just went on Reddit.
Doesn't need to be. That's fine. And you know what?
It's some interesting stuff, so.
Let's take a moment to say, if anybody listening wants us to talk about a specific fan theory that's related to an episode that we're doing or have watched already, let us know. We'd be happy to address that for you. If you have your own fan theory that you want to pitch, Let us know. If it's interesting enough, maybe we'll talk about it.
Correct.
Yeah. We're not going to promise that we'll watch it, that we'll talk about it. If you come at us saying, I think Rick's an asshole or something, that's not a good fan theory. Yeah. We're not going to talk about
that.
There
was a couple sentences, a few paragraphs, if you will.
Uh-huh. You know, you get the idea. Anyway, back to you.
So,
hey.
Okay. So what I found interesting about this, it's called If Rick's 10 Minutes Revealed Summers Are Rare, How Are There So Many Mortys? This was written by Mr_Reindeer 4 years ago. It's a little dated, but I read a little bit of it and I was like, huh, I didn't think about that at first, but you know what? Yeah. So basically, like, the whole thing stems from when Summer is flipping through the channels of the different realities and she just keeps coming up with, like, nothing, suggesting that there aren't that many versions of Summer as there are of Morty. And they're kind of, like, questioning why this is.
Yeah, why would there be more Mortys than there are Summers?
Yeah.
Seems like there would be the same number.
Yeah. So here the people say, well, Mr. Reindeer says, the show obviously pays a good deal of attention to continuity. My question is, Rick's 10 minutes heavily implies that Beth and Jerry don't get together in most dimensions, and thus Summer isn't born. She can only find herself in a handful of dimensions, right? So how does every Rick seemingly have a Morty across all dimensions? Have Roiland or Harmon ever addressed this?
Hmm.
So this was kind of like the prompt, the question.
Yeah.
So somebody, which the name says deleted, said, my take is this. Each scenario has two choices when it comes to Summer, abort or not abort. In the event Summer is not aborted, Beth and Jerry are stuck together fostering a Morty. In the event Summer is aborted, Beth and Jerry find their way back to each other and conceive Morty. Was pretty much explained in the same episode when Jerry ran an OJ-style chase to Beth's house and said they should never have got that abortion. So, like, the end of this episode. So he's just saying that, like, even if Summer had been aborted, that somehow Beth and Jerry would have still gotten together and had Morty. So that's why, like, there's more chances of Morty being born than Summer.
That makes good sense.
Yeah. Kind of does make sense.
I mean, except for the fact that any little change in the timeline is going to affect which of Jerry's sperm and which of Beth's eggs are inseminated. And there's only one Morty sperm and there's only one Summer sperm. And if it's off by so much as a day, even half a day, they're not blowing the same load.
That's true, which maybe disproves this theory. Like, maybe you can't have a Morty without having a Summer, right? So some people down here also talk about that. So this other person says, kind of explaining that away, their name is Seraphim Nuisance. The solution is simple, and we see it in the Citadel episodes. When a Rick dies, their Morty, if still alive, is kept on the Citadel and assigned a new Rick when a Rick's Morty dies, right? So even if there are less Mortys than Summers, the Citadel clearly hoards those they do have so they never run out. There are also the possible universes where the Morty there was just taken away or decided to run off to the Citadel, so they had extra Mortys in case of emergency. So they're kind of saying that, like, the reason why it might seem like there are more Mortys than Summers or other members of the family is because the Citadel of Riggs actively keep all the Mortys alive and hoard them.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Like, not so much the Summers or the other ones.
No, it's... yeah, regardless, even if there are less Summers than there are Mortys, there's still a metric fuck ton of both of them, because there are infinite universes. There's no shortage.
Yeah.
But there are plenty of universes where they don't exist.
Correct.
But we'll, oh God, we're gonna get into so much mind fuckery once we get around to the Citadel of Rix, because they specifically call it the Central Finite Timeline. While there are infinite timelines, there's still only like a bubble of timelines where Rick and Morty and the Smith family exist. Outside of that bubble, the entire family never existed, you know?
Correct.
And even further outside of that bubble, humanity never existed. Infinite timelines, you know?
It's just the infinite of it makes kind of like these arbitrary numbers just arbitrary.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of meaningless, really.
So there's not truly an infinite number of Mortys and Summers. Like he says two episodes ago, you know, we get six or seven more of these tops where they can find the exact set of circumstances that they need to jump dimensions seamlessly. Even though there are infinite timelines, it makes sense that that doesn't mean they have infinite opportunity for an ideal escape plan.
Correct.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I could be wrong, but, you know, I'm not a certain kind of scientist that studies time.
Timologist?
I'm not a timologist, all right?
Clearly.
Jesus Christ. I'm going to think of it later. I'm going to wake up in a cold sweat. And I'm going to call you and scream it, and then I'm going to hang up and go back to sleep.
Oh my God.
Because there's a word for it, a very official, special word for it. No, I'll probably just text you.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's basically...
I'm going to drive to Mexico.
Okay. No, you're not.
No, I'm not. That's a long fucking drive for me.
So that's basically all I have for that little question about the Summers and the Summers are rare. I guess people thought that the Summers were rare just because she wasn't coming up in the realities in the goggles. That's how this whole conversation started. Because
she wasn't coming up in what?
In the goggles.
Oh, the goggles. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you said something about the comics.
Well, that's a whole other thing.
That's a whole other thing. That's a rabbit hole that I didn't go down yet, but I'm going to have to. We're going to have to at some point. Because I read something about, just briefly, it mentioned that they establish in the comic books that most Summers are gay, and the ones that aren't are just faking it because they're afraid to come out for whatever reason. And that explains her terrible taste in men.
Ha! Okay. I know you're gonna really read the comics that I have already. Because I have some, but I haven't read them all.
Hmm. You have physical copies?
Yeah.
Oh,
I
neat.
Have like a big compendium, like a volume, whatever.
Oh, I should get that. I'm going to get that.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's fun.
Mm.
So I did harvest, if you will, a couple comments kind of that caught my attention.
Mm-hmm.
And so here one person nicknamed Green Elephant said, I love the little moments of continuity and heart, too. It's perfect because it's not really a cynical show that's out to prove how shitty everyone is. It's a show that wants to blow all those ideas open and show how random and stupid people and the world can be in the most hilarious possible way.
I like it.
Yeah, right? Kind of reminiscent of how I take the show.
Yeah, I like looking at it in a more positive way because I like the show. It hits me in a positive way, and it's nice being able to actualize and verbalize. Articulate is the word I was looking for. It's always ironic when I can't think of the word articulate because I'm unable to articulate the word articulate.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's nice being able to articulate how I feel about the show.
Mm-hmm.
This has been Rick's D Minutes by Wubble Up a Pod Pod. Don't forget to review us on iTunes. If you want to support us on Patreon, we'd love it if you did that. Go to patreon.com/wubbleupapodpod. We have three tiers of support. We have a $1 Morty tier, a $3 Rick tier, a $5 Rickest Ricks tier. At the $5 tier, you're going to get exclusive. Tell them what they're going to get, Alex.
I'll tell you what they're going to get. right now.
I want to say like a live stream reminder, 15% off merch.
I'll tell you right now. You get early access to the video version of the podcast. So you get to watch with your eyes the raw version of the podcast a week earlier than everybody else. That's what that is. You also get the live stream reminder so you can catch us recording the episodes live on Twitch. And then if you get the $3 tier, you also get 10% off merch. And if you get the $5 tier, which is the Ricky's Rick, you get everything that I said before, also 15% off merch. And you get access to the Rick and Morty smartphone background created by me, Alex. I'm working on one right now. It's really cute. You want it.
Very nice. yeah, and if you want to check us out, you can always go to wubblubblepodpod.com. If you want to buy some merch, head over to our sister podcast website, beerwithbuffy.com/shop. We have all kinds of social media. Alex is great at putting together some clips and doing up our social media stuffs. Go over to Instagram at wubblubblepodpod, Twitter, I'm sorry, X, at wubblepodpod, TikTok at wubblepodpod, twitch.tv/wubblepodpod, Podbean, wubblepodpod. We're on all your favorite podcast platforms, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, whatever. If you ever have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can email us at wubblepodpod@gmail.com. You can also text or call us and leave us a voicemail at 269-743-0783. Big shout out to Benjamin Alexander for all of our opening, closing, and transitional music. This has been Wubble Up a Pod Pod. I'm Josh.
I'm Alex. Ta-da! Look at us.
Way up in the butthole, Morty.
Way up. Wow, that's
good. I need you to put this hamster way up in your butthole.
We haven't done the snowball.
We did that. That was episode 2.
What? Oh, that was? Shit.
It's all going to blend together so easily.
Well, we only have 3 episodes left of this season.
Woo, they're short seasons, honestly. Now that we're doing this more regularly, we're going to start burning through this show.
Done. Why are we watching this?